the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Heavenly Father, thank you again that we could meet together, and I thank you for our fellowship time, our Sunday school class hour. Lord, we thank you for that. I pray, Lord, now, Lord, you'd open up our minds, Lord, our spiritual eyes. Help us see some deeper truths, Lord, that you have for us in your word. And we're so thankful that we can't exhaust the word of God, that it's beyond really a total comprehension, Lord, that we can look and search and ask for your wisdom. And I pray for that today for all of us here, that we'll really get a hold of some deeper truths that you have for us here this morning. And I'll trust you for all that'll be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message is What If, and I'll get around to that here in just a minute. Just give you a little background. The Bible has a lot of dual prophecies, sometimes maybe even more than duals, but usually a dual. And that means there's things going on that cover a couple of different periods, and some things that maybe one group of people couldn't see, like now. You know, Israel had been, as it said in verse 2, walking in darkness. And of course, that's because of their disobedience, there was the God allowed the Assyrians to invade them. He used them as a chastening rod against Israel. And so, of course, that wasn't a good time. It was a war that had taken place, a captivity that had taken place, death had taken place. And so it was a dark time for them. And, of course, also it's a prophecy of today, or at least the earth up until the time that God sent his son. We're about to celebrate Christmas, that he sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world and the birth of Christ, this light. He pictured the light that was in a dark world at that time. And there's still people walking in darkness that don't know the Lord. They've not been saved. They may know about him. They see the manger scenes and things at Christmas, but they don't know the Lord. And so, that's my prayer, that we come to know the Lord. You know, our spiritual eyes are opened that way. And there's a 6-7 is a prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. Of course, the Jews believe that the Messiah would come. They believe that he would come as a child. They believe that he would grow up and that he would deliver them. But they couldn't see a gap. They couldn't see the times of the Gentiles. That was something that was hidden, the church age. That was a hidden thing for them. And so we see a couple things in verse 6 is probably our key verse. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born." That child being born is a picture of the humanity of Christ. And then it says, "And unto us a son is given." And that would picture the deity of Christ along with the humanity of Christ. So two things there. We see here, we can see, and the Jews saw his first advent. They could see his birth that was prophesied for. But we also can see, we know, they wouldn't have known, we can see the second advent. When it starts to go from verse 6 in the middle, it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." That's taken us all the way past the day that we're living in now, right into the millennial reign. That's when he's going to be, that's when Christ is going to rule. The government's going to be on his shoulder. He's going to be the Wonderful. He's going to be the Counselor of the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. All that's going to take place during the millennial part. So this thing spans, that verse spans a big, big piece of time, a big piece of time. And so we see that. And so, You know, the Jews also, they saw, for unto us a child is born. Now, they only saw the us as them, the Jews, God's people, applying to themselves. And, of course, and they knew that they were walking in darkness and they wanted a Messiah. But I think that the us also applies to us, dual prophecy. We're looking ahead. To us, a child is given. And to us, a son is born. And so, why was that the case? Why do we have to have a Savior? Why do we need a Messiah? Why do we need to be saved? What are we being saved from? Well, you know, sin. Well, you know, sin, because when disobedience, when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin came into the world. Most of y'all, you know this, and sin came into the world, and that sin separated us from God in the spiritual sense. And then death came because of sin, and then there was a curse on the land. Not only were we cursed, but there was a curse on the land, and we know that. And so we needed a Savior, a Redeemer, because of Adam's sin, and because that sin nature was passed down to every one of us through Adam and Eve, just like we receive certain genetic things from our parents. We see that. And so last week when we were in Sunday school class, and I shared this a little bit with our church group on Wednesday night, in Sunday school class, Paul was teaching on in Romans, and he said, you know, he said, if Adam had never sinned, he'd still be alive today. And that's true. That's true. I mean, death hadn't come. Adam would have been alive. Eve had been alive. And then all that generation of people that, and we're descendants of, there would be no death. It would have just been eternal life. And that's a true thing. And so I got to thinking about that. And I said something about it. I said, what if Adam had never sinned? Think about this. And I sit around and think about stuff. Now this is called Deep Thinking Sunday, because I got a deep thinking thing this morning, and I got a deep, maybe even deeper thinking thing for tonight. So this is Deep Thinking Sunday. I'm sorry about it, sorta, that I'm going to make you think, or I want to make you think. I'm really not sorry, but it's not, you know, it's not bad to sit around and think about things. And I do. Listen, there's a lot of things, and I know, you know, we read and study and do this and that and all that, and you can read up, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of things that I don't read the commentators about. I didn't read any commentators about what I'm going to tell you, because they're commentators, you know. There's an uncommentator. And then there's a commentator. But this is what God just spoke to me about, and I rolled this around in my head, and I talked about it all week with Sherry. I couldn't get off it. I had to preach. I said, I've got to preach this, and I know I can tie it into the birth of Christ, because this is why it is what it is. So right off the bat, you would say this. Number one point, what did we lose? What we lost when Adam sinned? What did we lose? Now, right off the bat, somebody's going to say this, and it came up. I think we even said this in Sunday school class. Somebody said, well, if Adam hadn't sinned, somebody else would have done it, you know, down the road somewhere. All right. And I thought about that. And I said, okay, let's think about that. If Adam didn't sin, say they lived a certain amount of time. I'm just giving you a hypothetical. Say they lived a certain amount of time, 10 years, 20 years, maybe 50 years. Just throw something in there. All right, and they were having children, and the world was multiplying with this race, and I don't like to use the term race, but I got to sort it out, group of people. It's the human race. There was this group that never sinned, okay, and they're having children, so they're not passing down the sin nature to these people, okay, but then somewhere along the way, somebody sinned, all right, and now death entered, sin entered for that group. Okay, and they started multiplying. Now you got two groups. You got this sinless group that's original man's, God's creation. And now you got a group of people that hadn't sinned, you know, are sinning. And they got the sin nature and everybody's sinning. What do you think would have happened then? I'll tell you what would have happened, and I can prove it to you. What would have happened was they would have started getting together. There'd have been mixed marriages. Somebody from the group that's dying with this sin curse. Of course, and even back then, when sin first entered the world, I mean, people lived 900 years, you know, they lived a long time because the compounded effects of sin hadn't taken place. So they lived a really long time. And Methuselah would be a good example. And so what would happen was, though, they would start be mixing marriages, and then there would be some compromises that would take place from the from the sinless group, the ones that didn't have the sin nature, they would compromise, and after a while, guess what? They would start sinning. They would fall in, and they would sin, and they would be corrupted, and then it would all go down the drain, and we'd be at the same place that we are today. Well, how do I know? Well, the reason I know is this, because listen, we're looking at the church age today, and God has saved us, and God has redeemed us, and God has given us His Holy Spirit, and God has given us His eternal life. In other words, God has meant for His people to be that representative group that hadn't sinned, in a sense, a pure group, a race of people, a group of people that are saved for His glory, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's intended us to do that, but guess what? The church has mingled with the world, and the church has intermarried with the world, and the church has compromised with the world, and buddy, we're falling around. Right now, the statistics for all the sinful things are probably the same for the church as they are for the people that are lost out there in the world. That's how I know, and that's how I can prove it, and you can't prove otherwise because we don't have any evidence against it. Oh, there's some people out there that are living godly lives. I'm not saying, but I'm talking about it as a whole. This is what I know about it. So that's what would have happened. So we think about what we lost and what Adam and Eve they lost it for us all when they sinned. Now they were, number one, we lost paradise. They were living in paradise. And this, man, a perfect environment. I saw a lot of posts on there. People aren't liking this cold weather. We're just not used to it. You know, things have gotten so bad now. I thought this morning, I went outside, man, it was like 30-some degrees. It was like 38, and I thought, man, it felt like warm air blowing on me because it had been so cold. You know, it had been like 19 the other morning. I went out there to feed my birds. I went out with the bird feeder was about out. I thought, I was dressed like this. I went bebopping out there. I thought, well, it doesn't feel that bad, you know. But we see, we had gotten so, you know, years ago, this is how it was. Those of you that have got any age on you remember in the 60s when snow up to here all winter long and cold. And then we got used to this 50-degree weather, you know, Christmas Day, 72. And we got used to it. Got cold. People saying, oh, man, the cold. I don't know why people. But you know what? They had this perfect environment. No briars, no thorns, no thistles. That came in because of the curse. The Bible tells us that. No work as we know it. Work's a four-letter word the way we know it. They tended the garden, but it wasn't like work. There's a lot of people even today. They have a garden. They like the fruit and all that, but they enjoy it. They wouldn't look at it as work, even though, you know, you go out there and you till and you weed and you just, but they, it's like a hobby, you know, for people that really like that. And so it's not the same way. Work wasn't established the same way where we would earn our bread by the sweat of our brow, because what happened was we lost paradise. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, put an angel with a flaming sword at the entrance to it, and they couldn't go back in. So they lost that perfect environment. Now they had to work. Now there was sweat. Now there was sorrow, pain, suffering, all that. They lost that paradise that God had for them. Of course, one day, we're looking for heaven one day. And then they lost fellowship with God. The Bible says that the Lord God came and He would walk in or talk with them in the cool of the evening, you know. And so when they sinned and they realized it and they knew God was coming, man, they ran and hid. See, they ran from God. That's what happens in our fallen state. It's not God ran from us. Man runs from God. Man, you can, you know, I've told you with before, going out visiting, you find somebody lost. Boy, they don't, you know, preaching on the radio, they get off it in a hurry. They see somebody coming with a Bible in their hand. Boy, they don't want to have anything to do with it. Whoa, wait a minute, I don't want to talk about that. We can talk about everything under the sun except for Jesus. They don't want to have it because that is man running from God. It came with that fallen nature. Right off the bat, they hid. And God's calling out to them. He knew where they were, but He's calling out. And so they lost this fellowship with God that they had. And that's the separation that man has today, the spiritual separation, the same thing. They lost eternal life. Just think, there was no death. Brought up our conversation, what made me think about this a little bit deeper. I went over it with Sherry. We talked about it, man. I finally got her straightened out. I mean, it was, and, you know, kept talking. And I would think of something else, man, and something else would pop. And like later on, I thought about, well, you know what, if somebody else, if they had the thing about, if it had been a while, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned and it went some years in this other group of people, I started thinking about that. You know, that got me to thinking about that. But death came, so eternal life, now all of a sudden the aging process. Man, we lost perfect health. I mean, there wasn't no gray hair. Man grew to a certain point from a baby up to a certain place, and that was it. They didn't have arthritis. I mean, they had all the perfect, no aging, no aches, no pains, no anxiety, no fear, no worries. We can't even comprehend it. You know, they didn't have anything that goes along. You know, their bodies, it was just great. Man, nothing happened. They lost sinlessness, the sinless state. Listen, there was, before sin, there was no immorality. There was no shame. There was no pride. There was no hatred. There was no sorrow. There were no tears. There were no war. There was no bitterness. There was no unforgiveness. Forgiveness. I think I got that in the next thing. There was nothing to forgive anybody for. They didn't need that. They didn't need forgiveness. No evil thoughts. What are we going to think about? No gossip. It didn't exist. All that came in because of the fall. So the sinless state, we lost that. If Adam hadn't sinned and nobody else sinned, we'd still be in that state, the sinless state today. And guess what? We would have peace, love, joy, everything you can think of, contentment, fellowship with God, eternal life. So then you think, well, why did God allow it? Why did God let Adam sin? He stopped him. He could have done that. So, and then I got to thinking, well, was it loss? Was it all loss? Or did we gain anything? Did God gain anything? I'm going to tell you something. Because of the fall, we gained something, many things, and God even gained something. And that's really what I want to talk about. And now I say, bear with me, man. This is deep thinking. I said that they lost peace, joy, love, and contentment. But before the fall, did they know what that was? Did they know what peace was? Did they know what love was? They might have known what love was a little bit. Did they know what joy was? Did they know what contentment is? I don't think they didn't know what it was. They didn't, you know, can you really understand? And even today we have a hard time with this, the love of God. Or could they really know, or even really know what, could they know what peace was? And I don't believe that they could, and we could totally or more fully understand God himself apart from the fall. I just don't think we could. What we gained, number two. Now, I've talked to you guys about this before, to the church, about the need for contrast. You know, like, you can't know love if you don't know hate. You can't know joy if you don't know what sorrow is. You can't know peace unless you know what anxiety or restlessness is. And so I thought about that a little bit more, a little bit deeper, and I had a hypothetical case, and I thought about this, and my hearing's all jacked up. Wednesday night we're trying to pray, and Rose said, hey, I want you to pray for my niece. Well, somehow we wanted to pray for the youth out of that. And then she said, no, my niece. And I said, your niece, we need to pray for your niece. She said, no. Kyle said, no, her niece. I said, oh, why didn't you say so? I can't hear it, man, but I can relate. So this is good. I'm going to give you a hypothetical man, a deaf man, but I'm going to give him to you in a test tube. He's just him. There's nothing else. You know, there's no other people or no media. So we got this isolated deaf man, and he's born that way. And he doesn't see anybody else talking or nobody to say, hey, listen, can you hear me? I'm saying niece instead of knee. You know, he don't have that. He doesn't know. He doesn't have television. He doesn't have media, internet, nothing. There's nothing to, this is what he's born. You know, he's just born this way, and that's the way it is. That's all he knows. For him, he doesn't have a word for deafness because he doesn't know that he's deaf. He doesn't know what deafness is because he doesn't know anything else, see? And then one day, something happens. He can hear. It's like this change, this supernatural change, man. He can hear something. Now, all of a sudden, he's, wow, I can hear. But he doesn't have a word for it. So he said, man, something's different. I got to have a name. So he comes. He said, you know, I'm going to call this hearing. I can hear. And then he says, you know what? Before, I couldn't hear. I was, and he might come up with, I'm going to call that deafness. You know, he invents it, this hypothetical guy, right? So, but before that, he didn't know. See, so you see the illustration? So if you're in heaven, how do you know, you know, if you live constantly in a perfect environment from Adam and Eve on and no sin had ever entered the world, could you know a lot? There's a lot of things that you would not know. You would not know that. So could we know God as fully as we do now without the fall of man? Our text says in Isaiah 9:2 that the people walked in darkness and seen a great light. How did they know they saw a great light? Because they walked in darkness. If they hadn't walked in darkness, they wouldn't know they saw a great light. You wouldn't know it. If we were in light all the time, just like this, we wouldn't have a name for it. We wouldn't know what it, you know, it's just the way it is. We wouldn't name what it is. He's called the Prince of Peace in verse 6, the Prince of Peace. How would you know peace if you were born in peace and everything was peaceful like the conditions of Adam and Eve in paradise? Would you have a word for it? How do you describe, boy, this is really peaceful, isn't it? As opposed to what? You wouldn't have a word for it. You'd have to have anxiety. You'd have to have war. You'd have to have stress and strife. You got to have that. We couldn't understand peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. We couldn't know it if man hadn't fallen. Now listen, none of this caught God off guard. Trust me on this. I mentioned love. Adam and Eve probably knew that God cared for them or loved them. If they had a word, they could see that God came in the cool of the evening. I'm sure that he expressed his love and concern. You know, there's a difference. Maybe you know this or maybe you don't. There's a difference between loving someone or something and being in love with someone. There's a difference. And John 15:13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's death, right? But if death never had come, could God have expressed his love that highly to a man that didn't know what death was? That they said that's the greatest expression is death. Death had to come. God could have never expressed. We'd have never appreciated God's love. Well, here we are at the Christmas season. We're going to celebrate the birth of Christ. God could have never expressed his love to an unfallen man the same way without the fall of man, because death wouldn't have come into the world. He couldn't have done it. Is that a gain or a loss? It's a gain, right? Y'all with me? Everybody awake? This thing working? Is that a gain or a loss? It's a gain, right? That we know what the love of God is. That's a gain. We wouldn't have this verse, and we wouldn't be celebrating Christmas. Man hadn't fallen. There wouldn't be no such thing. Without the fall, God couldn't be glorified by our love. What's our purpose? To glorify God. Well, if God had just made, let me ask you this. How does God get more glory? Does God get more glory if he'd have just made us a robot and we just had to love him and we couldn't help it? God just said, listen, you're going to love me and that's it. That's just the way it is. Boom, I give you that. And we love God. Or God says, listen, I'm going to give you a choice and you can love me if you want to. I'm going to love you no matter what. And I'm going to send my son to die for you and I'm going to love you. I'm going to show you that. And if you want to love me, you can. What glorifies him more? When we love him because we want to is more than if he'd have made a robot. What about grace? Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. The only way that we can experience grace is that we know that we're out of God's grace or that we don't deserve anything because of our goodness. We have to have our fallen state to understand the grace of God. You got me here? You with me? Everybody with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all are just thinking so deep, probably. And I had all week to think about it. Y'all got the rest of the week to think about it, right? We wouldn't know that. Love and grace, you know, grace wouldn't exist apart from the fall of man. What about mercy? Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. But if we had lived in a sinless state, what would we have deserved? I mean, if we were going to look at it that way, huh? We wouldn't know what mercy is, not apart from the fall. We couldn't know God the same way. We wouldn't know it as deep. We couldn't see the compassion, the love, the long-suffering. We wouldn't know any of those things. We look at all the fruit of the Spirit. We wouldn't understand it. It wouldn't even make sense to us without the fall of man. It wouldn't make sense. What about forgiveness? I mentioned that before. we wouldn't have a word. We wouldn't have the word. You know, we wouldn't have forgiveness because we wouldn't do anything that required forgiveness. Long-suffering, patience, even joy. Don't see, like joy, like if you were like the deaf man that I spoke about earlier, if you were constantly joyful, filled with the joy of God, it would just be a given thing. There's nothing to contrast it to. Like, see, we understand joy because we know what sorrow is. We experience sorrow. And so and the only way we experience sorrow is because of the fall of man. We wouldn't have experienced that before. I don't think that Adam and Eve ever had sorrow before the fall. We can appreciate that. And I think even the joy in the Lord, even though maybe they could feel it, but without the contrast, they couldn't define it. They couldn't define that. His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. His indwelling Spirit. Now, Adam and Eve, God came into a geographic place at a time and would talk with him in the cool of the evening, but we have the Holy Spirit of God as a permanent possession dwelling in us. Huh? Is that a gain or a loss here? This is a gain, and then we wouldn't have had that until the fall of man, until after the fall of man. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, transforming us, empowering us, giving us victory over the fallen. See, we couldn't even understand the power of the Holy Spirit of God because we wouldn't have anything to get the victory over if we had the Holy Spirit of God before the fall. Right? So now we have the Holy Spirit and we know what our flesh can do. We know how corrupt we are. We know how our mind works. We know how those old habits are in life, those sinful habits. And the Holy Spirit gives us power over that. And we can rejoice in that because we got the victory.
Amen.
But we wouldn't have nothing to be a victory over if we hadn't fallen. And God's glorified more because of the transformation that takes place in his people than if he never had to transform them, right? If we were just constantly, wouldn't even be a word for transformation. We'd already be formation. Now it's transformation. It's a closer relationship that we could have had apart from the fall. Listen, it's a gain, man. Everything, this is what we gained because of the fall of man. Eternal life. Didn't even have a name in Adam and Eve's day. That's just the way it was. Because they didn't know what death was, see? They didn't have death, so they couldn't say, well, listen, we're going to live forever. Well, what's the opposite? As opposed to what? You couldn't die, right? Eternal life. We understand it more than they did. We can appreciate eternal life means something to us. The Bible talks about the blessed hope. They didn't know nothing about the blessed hope. There was nothing to look forward to. It was going to be the same. All the way through eternity, it would have been the same. We got the blessed hope. We got something to look forward to. Man, I mean, it's the joy of a, I mean, man, it is something that's different. They didn't have a blessed hope, a home in heaven. Well, it means more to us than it would to them. We don't know, you know, what was gold to them? Talks about gold streets and all the, didn't mean anything. That didn't mean anything to them. Man, it means a lot, man. Because why does heaven mean so much more to us than it did to them? Because of hell. Because of the opposite. Oh, man. Huh? There's a place. It's a real place, right? Oh, it means so much more to us. Man, what a... They don't even... Before the fall of man, they wouldn't understand nothing. We couldn't even talk to them about it. Just like the angels that... Not the fallen angels, but the other angels don't know. They don't understand it. We can really understand joy, and when we get to heaven, boy, the joy is going to be so much greater than what they, who if they had just lived there the whole time, if somebody had just been living and not been in a fallen state, they wouldn't know. What is wrong with them nuts? We'd be over there going, boy, hallelujah, praise God, man. We're running around crying, all excited. And they're going, they wouldn't know. I mean, it would be so, think about this, man. I'll let this marble roll around in here for a long time, huh? Every day, man, I said, man, listen, hey, Sherry, come here and listen to this. I started talking about things, ideas. We didn't lose a thing. We didn't lose a thing. Every single thing. God didn't take anything away from us. He actually said, listen, I'm going to make you understand more. You'll know more. We'd have never understood God. And everybody's all over the place and will never fully understand God. But we wouldn't understand him nowhere near what we should understand him now without the fall of man. That's just the way it is. It's just like amazing. And I believe that's why God worked it out. Like I said, listen, the fall of man didn't catch God off guard. And now, listen, this offer still stands. He said, listen, man, the word of God's still getting preached, man. We wouldn't even have the word of God. We wouldn't have the word of God at all. We wouldn't have preaching. We wouldn't have an altar call. We wouldn't have a decision to make, in a sense. Which, I guess that's a good or bad thing, depending on what decision you make. God's still in the calling business, man. I love about Christmas time, that maybe it forces people that otherwise wouldn't think about God or think about Jesus, when they think about what Christmas is and the birth of Christ, they're going to see a manger scene somewhere, and they're going to hear some of them Christmas songs if they listen. Like I said, God doesn't just love you, he's in love with you. Amen. And there's a difference. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want a gain? Listen, what do we want? Don't we want in life? Aren't we, if we want to look at our selfish selves just a little closer, we want gain, right? That's what we want. Well, we want more money, huh? We want more money, more land, more house, more. We want more of something. You know, we want gain. I mean, that's just our natural thing. And God said, listen, you want gain? Huh? Trust in Jesus Christ, man. Call on him for salvation, boy. I mean, man, and then you, all these things. And even to a degree, I think God can open your eyes to a certain point. And does, at least enough to see enough that you need to be saved. But boy, once you have the Holy Spirit of God and he opens up your eyes a little bit more, and you can see, listen, there's deeper spiritual truths than I'm laying on you right here. There's deeper things than this. Huh? And And God opens up our eyes that we can see that. It's all gain. Everything that God has for you, you don't lose. I think the world philosophy, oh, if you get saved, you know, you're going to have to quit doing this. You're going to lose it. Hey, you're going to lose them old hangovers, and you're going to lose that Jones that you got when you ain't got that heroin fix that you want, and you're going to lose hanging out in them old smoky bars with the beer-stained rugs and smelling all that and walking around and can't talk, and you're going to lose all that, and you're not going to have no fun. The world keeps trying to tell you that you're going to lose something when you get saved, and it ain't nothing but a lie from the devil. Listen, you're not going to lose a thing. It's all gain.
All gain,
buddy. When you get, you're going to gain everything. You're going to gain everything that you lost and more, because of your knowledge is going to be greater than theirs. It'll be greater than theirs. Amen. Paul, you come on up, and if God spoke to your heart today, if you're watching on Facebook, and you realize that God has opened up your eyes, that maybe, hey, maybe I'm not saved. Man, listen, Satan, let me ask you this. Would Satan tell you that you're lost?
No.
He wouldn't tell you that. He wants you to think you're saved.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit of God is what convicts you that you're lost, if you're lost. I used to think about that a little bit deeper. I thought, well, you know, Satan going to tell me I'm lost and get me, I've made a profession, Satan's going to tell me I'm lost just to get me all defeated. No, Satan would never tell you that. Satan would tell you you're saved. God's the one, the Holy Spirit of God's the one that convicts us whether our salvation is real or not. If you need to be saved, boy, what you can get an early Christmas present today. The greatest present that you'll ever receive today, greater than anything's going to be under the tree on Christmas morning, whenever you do that, and it's eternal life and all the other things that I said God's got for us. So if you need to be saved, you come forward.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn 174, My Jesus, I Love Thee.